Time for the Wintrust Business Lunch Hour. I'm Bob Surratt.
I'm Marianne Murciano. Hello on this Friday the 13th.
Careful out there. John Carpenter is with us from Tribune Blue Sky Innovation, reporting on many things new. And today it's all about the auto show. Connectivity, is that the big word this year, John?
Yep. Connectivity still is the thing that all the car companies are fighting to get ahead on. The one interesting thing that I saw the other day, or probably the most interesting thing that might catch people's eye, the auto show starts tomorrow. Hyundai is showing off the Apple CarPlay, which is a new product that essentially you plug your iPhone, but also works with an Android phone. But you plug it into the car, it'll charge while you're driving, but then it has a display, you know, touchscreen display that's kind of a replica of your phone. I think they don't allow you to use every single app. Obviously, they don't want apps
distracted
to be
driving
used when you're really distracted. But it runs on voice commands. It'll read your texts. But I think the Apple connection is a really good one for Hyundai, because their market is probably a lot of Apple users. But almost all the car makers are doing a lot with connectivity. Ford, Chrysler, Bob Duffer, who's the Tribune car guy, tells me that Chrysler seems to be out in front a little bit with essentially turning your car into an extension of your phone, as weird as that sounds. Through your dashboard, you can get access to all your music and all sorts of other things on your phone.
Is anybody talking about the stories I've been seeing lately are the thing that to worry about with a car in the future and now actually is just getting your car hacked.
You know, they talk about it a little bit, but mostly in saying that it's secure. But there's two ways to look at it, I think. I mean, if your car is basically like a mobile hotspot, then I suppose that adds a little bit of a risk that somebody is going to sort of jump on to your information wherever you are. But I think the hacking of your car is a little bit more of a concern as we give up control of our car. You know, when we get to the driverless car era, which most people say is coming soon, even though a lot of people have a hard time believing that, then you have a worry that all of a sudden you'll be going 60 miles an hour and something will go wrong with your car because somebody has done something wrong. But you know, I mean, I think it's like anything. If you're using your phone in Starbucks or if you're using it anywhere, and you're connecting to the internet, you know, there's a vulnerability there. So I mean, I think you really have to make sure you have the right security software.
You don't just have to worry about getting your car hacked in that way, though. Also broken into, it may be through some kind of a code, like breaking into. You don't need the key, or you don't need to break a window anymore.
Right, right. You know. I think that obviously security is going to be a big issue with that. But we don't use a key for our cars anymore. I mean, or at least for one of them. And, you know, we obviously have to have a fob, but I think it's only a matter of time before that fob is even gone and you just use your phone.
Meanwhile, all the car makers the designers are trying to figure out what gadgets people are bringing into their cars.
Right.
They're designing all kinds of places to put those now, aren't
yep.
they?
Oh, yeah. The Toyota Tacoma pickup truck has a windshield-mounted GoPro rack. Which,
you're kidding.
You know, yeah.
A windshield-mounted GoPro?
Right. So right up next to your rearview mirror on your windshield, on the passenger side is I'm assuming it's like a suction cup,
mm-hmm.
but it's a little plastic mount, and you can stick a GoPro. And what they're touting it as, I think he said something like 40% of the people who buy that vehicle buy the off-road package, which
includes that.
Well, which includes that, but I'm not sure how many of those people actually go off-road. You know, people like to have trucks that look like they can go off-road, but they never really go off-road.
It reminds me of the dashboard cam that they use in Europe, and that's why we've seen like meteors, landing planes landing, crashing.
If you ever want to lose like an hour of your life, Google Russian dashboard cams, and you sit there and you watch accident after accident after accident from a dashboard cam.
Now that the gas, at least temporarily, the price of gas is down here at the auto show, are the automakers obviously still planning for the $4 and $5 a gallon days?
They are. You know, I mean, alternative fuel is such an emerging technology that each year every car maker is getting a little bit better. Some doing better than others, but. You know, again, Bob Duffer, Tribune's great car guy, I think he counted 30 plug-in models or almost 30 plug-in models coming out in 2015. This is fully plug-in models as opposed to plug-in hybrids. So those are fully electric cars. There was also the Hyundai Tucson, I think, which is a fuel cell vehicle, which they're showing at the auto show. It's very interesting if you're interested in that technology, but there is no way to refuel that vehicle in Illinois. They can only sell them in California, and I think they've got like 60 of them leased because you have to have fuel cell fueling stations. You have to have gas stations. So that's an interesting, if you're a technology buff, and you know, if you go to the auto show, they always show these really muscular displays of the big engines, you know, in glass cubes. Well, they have some of these fuel cell stack engines, and it's even though I'm not an engine guy, I don't really know what I'm looking at other than a few pistons and valves. You can look at an engine that kind of looks like an engine, but it really looks like a big battery.
So it was your pick, the 2015 Ford GT for the number one attraction?
Yes, that was absolutely my pick. I mean, unfortunately, I don't have $200,000 to buy one. But, I mean, it looks like a speed racer car to me. I mean, you know, you and that's what a lot of people go to the auto show for, right, is to see these really sweet, you know, super sports cars.
That
and they're
they can't
definitely
buy.
There. Yeah, that they can't buy.
I mean, were there any, like, you know, like, this is the great deal of the year that, you know, that is affordable, that
you
is
know,
pretty cool?
I was mostly looking at technology. So, I you know, the Hyundai, I would have to say, you know, that's a pretty affordable car. And, you know, it sort of pains me to say this as a former Detroit resident, but I mean, that's a good affordable car. And that Apple thing, I think, is going to get a lot of young buyers because how many people have smartphones?
Exactly.
And speaking of technology, talk about 1871 and what does Rauner have to do with this?
Governor Rauner today helped open up Matter, which is a new health tech incubator at 1871. 1871 is a startup incubator at the Merchandise Mart. If you're starting a company, you can go there. You can get mentorship, networking. They've added a new one that really is just focusing on health tech companies and companies that are trying to innovate in both medical technology, but also the Affordable Care Act, really putting a lot of pressure on driving costs down. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of companies that are trying to operate in that space, which is basically helping hospitals, insurance companies manage costs.
And that's good for Chicago as we move from the city of broad shoulders to the city of the mouse and the screens.
Right, exactly.
John Carpenter, Tribune Blue Sky Innovation, covering all sorts of startup ventures and more. Have a good weekend. Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Bob Sirott and Marianne Murciano on 720 WGN.
Travel Business Now, sponsored by Ultimate Air Shuttle. It's Johnny Jett, proprietor of the very comprehensive travel website, the only one you need to check out, johnnyjett.com. Hello, Johnny.
Hi, Johnny. Hello? Johnny Jett, are you there?
Yes, he is. He's on this button today for some reason.
Johnny?
No, he's not on that button. Now, let's try him. Where are you, Johnny?
I'm in Toronto. Can you hear me?
Oh,
yes, we can.
We can hear you.
Right.
Hey, Johnny.
I'm a little under the weather.
No, join the club. It's going around.
I hear that.
Matzo ball soup and sleep. That's what I would recommend.
Good. It sounds good. I had a long week. I was at the Grammys, and I got an early morning flight, went to the Mall of America in Minnesota, and now I'm in Toronto.
How was the Grammys?
They were amazing.
And you
really.
You used miles or points in order to get a chance to go to the Grammys,
actually,
is that right?
I did not, but I went with Hilton Hotels, and they were just showing me what you can use your points with. So there were people there who did bid using their Hilton Honors points to go, and you know it's pretty amazing. They whisk you away in limos. They drop you off right at the red carpet. You walk down it. It's about two blocks long, and then we were five rows from all the stars. I mean, we were right there. We actually had better seats than most of the stars because we were up on a little bit of an incline.
Global Traveler, the international business travel magazine, ranked United's Mileage Plus program as best overall frequent flyer program. Do you agree?
I disagree.
Really? What's the best?
I think American right now, since they haven't gone to the mile for dollar. They're still mile to mile. I think they're going to change to that in a few months. But right now, American has the best. Delta has the worst. And unless you're a big time business traveler, then those guys are better because they're giving you how much you spend on your dollars and how much you fly with them. So if you have elite status, you know it works out great. But American right now is the best.
And talk a little bit about this Expedia and Orbitz news from yesterday. How does that affect the traveler?
Yeah, we'll see. I was surprised. I mean, everyone knew Orbitz was up for sale. They were trying to find someone to buy them out, and they found Expedia. So now Expedia, you know, between Expedia and Priceline, these guys own, you know, all the big online travel agencies, you know, from Hotels.com, Cheap Tickets, Travelocity, Kayak. Priceline has Kayak and Booking.com. So, you know, it's less competition. You know, I think it can only hurt, but, you know, we'll find out. I think the real thing is that most hotels and airlines, they want you to buy through them. And that's pretty much what I do right now. I'll use these guys and I'll search all these different sites and I'll see if it's cheaper. Sometimes it is, and then I'll buy it through them. But if it's not, I will then price out on the airline or the hotel website. And if it's the same price, I would just go through them because, you know, a lot of hotels now that they won't give you points unless you book through their site, or you won't get your points.
Johnny, I was just in New York City, and I used Hotels.com to stay at a place where it was half hotel and half condos rented out as hotel rooms. And it was very convenient because there were a lot of us and there was a kitchen and et cetera. But when there was a problem with the room, there was nothing that we could do about it because the hotel was completely hands-off. Is that a problem?
Yeah, that's a big problem. That's another reason why.
I mean, that was a problem for us, but do people usually have that problem?
So what was the hotel, by the way? It was a hotel / apartments?
Yes, I think it was called Casas.
I'm not familiar with that. You know, it drives me nuts when I hear things like that because they obviously can do something about it. They just don't want to do anything about it. It's the same thing when you book online, you know, through one of these agencies for an airline ticket, and then there's a snowstorm, and then you call the airline, and they say, oh, we can't do anything. You need to go through that third party.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weather, it's natural disaster, whatever.
They're just trying to get you to book on their sites, and it's starting to work because they're making it difficult, as you found out in New York.
American Airlines' first Boeing 787 Dreamliner will initially fly a route between Chicago and Dallas beginning in May. They announced that this week. Are you familiar with that plane? Are we going to like that one, Johnny?
You know what? I am. I've been on it a few times. I've been on British Airways 787 a couple times. It's a very nice plane, especially if you sit up front. In the back, I think they jam too many seats in. We'll find out what American has. I haven't been on American's plane, obviously, since it hasn't been out.
Right.
So the problem is they do jam it, but the air quality is much better. The windows are much larger. The lighting is cool, and it's supposed to make you feel like you're only at, I think, 6,000 feet pressurized instead of the normal. Right now, I think they have it at 8.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to make you feel better when you land. I didn't really notice that when I flew, but I do love the windows, and you can just press a button and they dim.
Yeah, I saw that. That looks nice. Here's what I like on the JohnnyJet.com website right now. It caught my eye. Deals to Hawaii. This time of winter and with everybody fighting the flu bug, we like this. Any good Chicago to Hawaii deals?
You know, there's some package deals, actually, and there's a couple listed there. Pleasant Holidays and Apple Vacations, they will have deals. Most of these are from the West Coast, So, you know, and if you do find a really good deal from the West Coast, you can always buy a ticket from to L.A. because usually Chicago, L.A. is pretty cheap, especially if you buy it in advance.
Right.
But, let me look real quick. But usually Apple Vacations and Pleasant Holidays, they do offer.
And this was really March and April, right?
Yeah, March, April, and May.
Mm-hmm.
Married. And now February too, actually. So you can find some really good deals from L.A. There's three nights for $525, including air and hotel.
That sounds very good. And finally, the travel tip of the day. One of the tips that Johnny has, reconfirm your hotel taxis. Now, this is about something that happened to you in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, well, you know, whenever if you're going to a place where there's not a lot of taxis, like, you know, Chicago or New York City, where you can just walk out and hail a taxi, and you need to order a taxi, I always do it the night before. You call down to the desk, and they do it for you. But then when you wake up in the morning, make sure there's a taxi there, because if you just go down and, you know, you're in a hurry and the taxi's not there, it could take 30 minutes for it to show up. So you got to reconfirm it.
I hope you don't have to fly while you're sick. That's not fun.
No, you know, the other day, actually a week ago, a flight attendant was sick. And you know, it's not really her fault, because the airlines make it so tough on them. My old girlfriend used to be a flight attendant, so I know. So they, you know, they make them pretty much go in when they're sick, which is just spreading more germs. And I don't know if I got it from her or what, but they shouldn't allow people who are sick to fly.
Yep.
They should allow you to change your tickets for free, and they should allow their employees to take the day off or 2 days off or whatever, or wear a mask.
Yeah, and they shouldn't allow radio personalities to go to work when they're fighting the flu bug.
I'm with you right there.
JohnnyJet.com for more on that. And get well. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Take care.
Market metrics and the latest headlines. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
The business of social media now. Scott Kleinberg from the Tribune Social column is on that. Happy Friday, Scott.
Happy Friday to you.
Hi there.
Hello.
There's some news from Apple, and this is about a change in the background on apps. Is that what it is?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And this might not seem like a big deal, but when you buy your next iPhone, it'll be a huge deal. So the size that an app can be is determined by Apple, and they have increased the limit from 2 gigabytes in size to 4 gigabytes in size, meaning basically that the apps that can be developed are more rich, more robust, and therefore take up more room on your phone. So if you are the kind of person who goes out and says, I just need a 16 gigabyte iPhone because I don't have that much on it, I'm never going to run out of space. Well, before you sign that 2-year contract, you should think really hard about that, because this will change how much room things take up on your phone.
Does it physically look bigger too? I mean,
nope.
Like, you know how you have like 4 across or 3 across?
Right.
Whatever it is.
No, that's not changing with this particular thing, but it is going to basically mean that whatever looks really nice on your phone now could look that much nicer, because you know, it's just a much more powerful and robust app in itself.
Is it just a matter of time before they stop making phones that just have 16 gigs?
I think so. I think so.
It's ridiculous. It's there. That nothing fits.
It's true. And I mean, this past iPhone that came out, we went from 16, 32, and 64. They got rid of 32, which was interesting, and they went 16, 64, 128.
Right.
So eventually, sure, it'll probably start at 64, but 64 will eventually be the new 16, because you have all of these 4 gigabyte apps taking up so much space. It doesn't mean that a developer needs to use that much space, but a really fancy game, this makes a huge difference. And there are been developers that have actually held off on making games because they couldn't fit it. It didn't have enough space. Now they have double the amount of space.
I think I have 16, don't I?
You have 16, and it's the least expensive one to buy, because if not, then you get on to this enormous amount of money that you have to spend for a phone, which then makes it more attractive to lose your grandfathered in unlimited data and go to one of those plans where you're basically leasing a phone.
Yes, exactly. And Apple will come out and they'll always say, well, it's only a $100 difference between the different tiers. And only
I'll take five. Give me five then, so I can save $500.
Exactly.
Yeah.
$100 is $100.
But for people like me who mainly use the phone for phone calls and emails and some text, but 16 was fine, but you're saying that may not be available
soon. Yeah, you're not like most people.
Yeah, I knew this would happen as soon as they broke up the Ma Bell. As soon as they broke up the telephone company, I knew we'd have this problem. All right, let's talk about another Apple story. Apple and Pinterest partnering up.
You know, I absolutely love this story. So this is Apple saying, how can we make app discovery easier? How can we make it so you don't have to just go to the app store on your phone and search for this app that you're looking for? So with this on Pinterest, this means, let's say you have a board and it's a board of fashion. Well, maybe there's a popular fashion app out there and it'll show up on your Pinterest and it'll say download this app. Mm. And you will actually be able to download an app directly from Pinterest without going to the store. So if you had a board of recipes, maybe there is a recipe app that pops up and it's like a perfect partnership and a perfect melding between the beautiful look that Pinterest is and app discovery.
I just cannot get on Pinterest. I mean, I can't have one more thing that I do.
I can totally understand that. And it's funny because this morning before I got here, I posted my 3,000th pin. And this is after me saying I am never going to want to use Pinterest or figure out Pinterest. And now I'm hooked.
What's so great about it?
It's just one of those things where people start sharing your stuff because they like your topics and they like your boards. And for me, that's all I need to be excited about social media, when someone's excited about something that I'm doing. But
don't they repost or share like a Facebook post?
It's kind of like that. I mean, you're sharing other people's content, and depending on what you're trying to share, you might have a link attached to your pin, which drives more traffic to your website. So it really depends on what exactly you're sharing. It's just one of those things that just becomes addictive after a while.
I am shocked by this story because I'm shocked after reading this story about Facebook giving you more options of what to do when you die.
Yep, yep.
That this didn't happen before. Like, tell me.
Yeah, I saw this story and I knew Scott was coming in today and I thought, I don't know if I even want to talk about this, but I
so
guess we should.
Explain what it is first.
It is called a legacy contact, and it basically... Facebook is basically saying, think about what you want to happen to your social media, specifically Facebook, when you die. And you basically give the rights to someone specific, and they are supposed to notify Facebook when you pass away. And then depending on the rights that you give this person, they can do certain things with your account. They can't read your private messages. They can't delete things, but they could post a pin at the top of your page that says, this is what happened to this person. They can download the data to save it for someone else. It's a morbid thing, but in this day and age, it's an important
thing. Yeah, I guess it makes sense. It does. Here's a question I have about Facebook. I have the app on my phone.
Yep.
And it used to be, it was very easy to get a message. Somebody would send you a personal message on Facebook.
Okay.
So now when I hit I hit Messenger now, mm-hmm. and it's asking me, it says, welcome to Messenger. And so I have to install something now. I don't just get those messages anymore like
no.
I used to.
No, it's exactly right. There was a time where went back and forth between Messenger
and Facebook.
This
happened about 2 years ago, Bob.
Well, I just updated
it's
my
more
phone.
Like 2 months ago. But
yeah, but it was so, it used to be so easy. You'd see a notification, you got a message, and you just press something, and there you go. You see your messages.
Now what do you do? It's going directly to the Messenger app. So if you don't have the Messenger app downloaded on your phone, you need to download it, sign in with your Facebook credentials, and then whenever you're in Facebook and you press the messages button, it will pop out of Facebook. You'll see it kind of change a little bit on the screen. It'll pop out of Facebook and into Messenger. It goes back and forth between the two when you press the button, but the first time until you download the app, it's giving you that weird thing.
Okay, let's have a class for Bob after the show.
Well, you know why I didn't do it, but you know why I didn't install it? Because I thought, no, they're asking me for all this information, I was leery. Yeah. But now that Scott says it's okay.
Yes. Right, so it is totally fine.
Let me get back to this Facebook thing. Is it kind of like you have to leave like a beneficiary? Is it sort of like that? And should everybody do this? I mean, should Bob assign me? Should I assign him? Our children? What can you delete a Facebook page completely?
They're not letting you delete a Facebook. Well, actually, I think it does. It gives you the option in there to say that the person you give the rights to can delete the page. But you have these things you have to go through, these steps when you give the person this access. Facebook actually says it might not be a good idea to give it to a spouse, because if you're traveling and something should happen to you together, it mentions that that's a thing you may want to give it to a close friend or someone else. There's all kinds of things that it talks about. It also says that if you do a beneficiary thing with a lawyer, employer and you have a will, that would supersede what you're saying here. So this is for the average person that just basically says, hey, you know, when I'm gone, who's going to handle this stuff?
I have people on my contact list who have died, and
everybody
I just cannot
does.
Remove them.
Yeah, no,
I can't remove people. That's what happens.
It's hard to remove, and you also, I got this week, you get so-and-so's birthday is today, and mm-hmm. the person is no longer with us, and it's
right.
a very, very difficult thing. That's what this thing could do. This thing could basically say, okay, after a certain point, you want to
don't
post something letting them know. Well, yes, but at some point it'll say, you know, you can let them know that this happened and then take down the page. Or they'll keep the page up and keep it as a remembering, and they'll put the word remembering above the person's profile name so you can make it as a permanent memorial kind of thing.
Scott, talk about the cautionary tale you told us about or that you wrote about regarding Facebook and Instagram. And the jewelry.
Someone got robbed.
This is
fantastic. So this is a guy in Philadelphia who comes into some expensive jewelry and Rolexes and decides, you know what, I'm going to take photos of this, post it on Instagram and Facebook, specifically Instagram in this case, and let people know that I got it. And here's pictures of it. And then lo and behold, two nights later, three guys break into his place. And what do they steal? Rolexes and expensive jewelry because of the social media post.
Yeah, you got to think. Use common sense, which isn't too common.
Yeah, common sense is a weird thing these days.
And finally, we've talked about this before, but you really have to be careful whatever you post and whatever you say on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
Because you can't just say anything,
people
right?
will find it.
No, people will find it. This is a teenage girl who got a job at a pizza place. Apparently, she didn't really want to get a job. She was just like, I have to go to this stupid job. She didn't use the word stupid. She used a very radio unfriendly word.
Uh-huh.
And the boss saw it, and the boss said, no, you know what? You don't have to come to work because you're fired, and good luck with your life. And then she tweeted and said, I can't believe it. I just got fired by my boss at a job I didn't start yet. So here was some kid who really didn't understand that there is a backlash to saying whatever you want on Twitter. And I think she understands now.
Yeah, hear that, youngsters. Scott Kleinberg, So Social is the column in the Chicago Tribune. Thanks as always, Scott.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
More on the Wintrust Business Lunch coming up on 720 WGN.
Let's get some market numbers, Kim.
We have a green screen, Bob. The Dow is up 10 points, the NASDAQ up 12, the S&P 500 up 1.
Thank you, Steve Alexander, for Orion Samuelson. Mm-hmm. And, we hit 18,000 for the first time in 2015, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We got up to 18,037 for the high today. The all-time high is 18,103. The S&P 500 did set a new record high. It got up to 2095, which eclipsed the previous record set last year. So a couple of robust moments for the market today. But as Kim mentioned, we've backed off considerably from the highs for the session. A lot of it is due to optimism about what's going on in Europe. The Eurozone GDP numbers came in higher than expected. And there is optimism that this Greece matter is going to get straightened out. The deadline is Monday. Greece is looking for an extension, perhaps a forgiveness of its bailout, but the optimism is there, and that's spreading onto Wall Street. Crude oil has been higher today. It's up right now 2.3%. It's been up close to 4% higher during the session, but right now 2.3% higher, $1.19 higher at $52.40. And gold is trading $7 higher at $12.27 at the Chicago Board of Trade. Corn has been trading higher today, up about 2.5 cents. Wheat is trading 10 cents higher, and soybeans are up about a nickel at the moment. One other food item, the USDA today approved new apples that are designed to resist browning. The apple industry calls this a huge, monumental moment. The USDA rejected efforts by the organic industry and also other GMO critics to block this new type of apple to be called the Arctic Granny and Arctic Golden, apples that will not turn brown. That's your money on 720 WGN.
We're going to tell you about a small business that definitely deserves some attention on our business lunch hour. Christine Pusateri Hair Solutions in Niles. And Christine Pusateri is here to tell us about it. Hi, Christine.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Tell us what you do. What exactly is your business?
Well, my business is hair replacement, men and women's hair replacement. I started doing this at 18, and at that time it was mainly the old-time toupees that were taped on the head, and it's kind of developed into the hair systems that are lace and are glued on. And then we found out that women have become a huge part of our business. Up until about 10 years ago, doctors used to prescribe estrogen for women going through menopause. Well, now they don't, because it causes breast cancer and heart disease. So with that happening, women are balding. At, you know, 50% of the women that go through menopause start to lose their hair. So we have about 40% of our business is now women that are going through hair loss.
So, and it's for it's women who are losing some hair or like completely balding?
We cover everything from alopecia areata, full alopecia, where people have an autoimmune disorder where they don't have eyebrows or eyelashes or any hair in their body, but they're perfectly healthy, or where people just have thinning hair, and then we do we work with cancer patients also.
Yeah, and I know you wanted to talk about that because, was it your mom you lost to cancer?
Yes, when my mom died in 1964, she had colon cancer, and at that time, there was nothing for women going through cancer, for anybody going through. There weren't oncologists. There wasn't chemotherapy. There wasn't hospice. And I just watched her kind of fade away, scared, because nobody talked to her about what she was facing. And now I started to donate my time to the American Cancer Society, kind of in her name, because they do so much for people, and there's so much out there for people that they don't even realize.
So now you're helping folks who are going through chemotherapy, for example?
Yes, like they'll go to the Cancer Society and they will give them a free wig. There's free wigs available for anybody going through chemo. They get these wigs, and they're kind of thick synthetic wigs. And they'll call me, they'll come into the shop. I take no information on them. I don't market to them at all. I just take care of them, cut the wig in on them, thin it out a little bit, teach them how to clean it, how to take care of it, and send them on their way. And if they need any help, they can always come back.
That's so great, though, the work you're doing. And I know you've been in business for a year, you've been interested in this for a long time, haven't you?
Yes, I started doing this a couple years back, working for somebody else. They allowed me to do this work on my lunch hour. And the more I became involved, the more involved I became. They started having me do that, and then I trained to do the Look Good, Feel Better program, which is what I'm trying to get cosmetologists out there. If anybody's interested, it's a wonderful thing to do. It's a lot of fun. It takes a couple hours of training, and then you have your classes, and the American Cancer Society gives women a full makeup kit when they're going through chemo. They can sign up for this. And I do my Look Good, Feel Better out of the Cancer Wellness Center in Northbrook. And what I do, I'm doing one February 23rd. We'll have maybe 15 women come in. They give them a makeup kit according to their coloring, if it's light, medium, or dark. And this makeup kit has everything. It has cleanser. It has moisturizer. It has you name it. Anything you would want to do, it's in there, including OPI nail polish. And it's donated by Chanel, MAC, Smashbox.
What a nice thing.
Yeah, Merle Norman.
And when you take these wigs and then you you make them fit the person, I mean, does the hairpiece go from looking like fake to looking a lot more natural?
Well, they make synthetic wigs a lot better than they used to. They used to be really thick and really clunky, but now they're lighter and they're thinner, and it doesn't take much. It's really a small thing I do. It sometimes takes 15, 20 minutes. But boy, they hug you. They're so happy. It really changes their whole perspective on what's going on in their life.
Well, you've talked about so many things that are of interest to so many people. There's no one listening who doesn't have a cancer patient in their life somehow. So, Christine, how can folks get more information? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can get in touch with me through my website. They can Google my name, Christine Pusateri, or go to cphairsolutions.com. They can call the American Cancer Society if they'd like to volunteer. It's 1-800 800 ACS 2345.
All right.
And they can call them and they'll set them up. They're also looking for drivers to take people to their treatment. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that their wives still work and they're retired. This is a nice thing for them to do too. So they're looking for all kinds of volunteers out there.
Thank you, Christine, for being here and for all the great work you're doing. Christine Pusateri, president and founder of Christine Pusateri Hair Solutions, cphairsolutions.com. That's an easy one to remember. And you're up at Milwaukee and Howard.
Right.
Continued success to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Bob Sirott and Marianne Murciano on 720 WGN.